Arizona sports, the local sports leader. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Gambo Show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. My name is Dave Burns, alongside apparently the one and truly the only John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. It's Gambo.
What's happening,
it's
Burnsy?
It's Gambo from the Gambo Show, everybody.
Hey, it's Gambo from the Gambo Show. Alex Morello to the Arizona Republic. I think I most misspoke when I went on the Gambo Show. And I said that they were coming. That's not correct. It was a hope that we'd work something out and we could bring them to Mullet and maybe them play in both locations.
He was clarifying comments that he made during our interview yesterday about the Roadrunners moving to Phoenix from Tucson. Quote, I think I misspoke when I went on the Gambo Show.
Yes.
And I said that they were coming. That's not correct.
Hey, it's Gambo from the Gambo Show.
Thank you for letting me be a guest on your show. I appreciate it.
I don't want to tell you when Mitch calls for guests. He usually just says, do you guys want to come on the Gambo Show? Because, you know.
I think my favorite part of that drop is it never went over the air.
Hey, it's Gambo from the Gambo Show.
I know, but we've got it socked away. You know, that's fine. That's fine. It's okay, Mr. Morello. It's all right. It's all right. You know, you said today during the press conference that you don't like the media, and hey, maybe
obviously he doesn't like you.
Maybe this member of the media is not too enamored with you either. Yes, you know, because it's apparently
the Gambo Show.
Forgot I even existed. It's the Gambo Show, everybody.
Hey, it's Gambo from the Gambo Show. I misspoke when I went on the Gambo Show.
Seriously, I got text messages from people today, from like friends of mine in the industry, people who work here in town. They're like, what? WTF, what is this about? What is going on? I'm like, well, you know, I'm just...
Well, you have friends in the industry. I really don't.
No, you don't. Yeah, nobody texted you about it, but they all texted me wanting to know if we were changing the name of the show. What was it? For all those years, it was the Dan Bickley Show with Vince Morato.
Yes,
we did that for about a year. It's like, oh, this is kind of awkward. Let's not do that. Anyway, thank you for letting me be a guest
on your show.
I really do appreciate it. I'm happy to be here, and you're just lucky I didn't call in, because apparently it's not my show.
No, go give me a nice tea. Unsweetened, please.
Oh, wow. Wow. While I extend a finger in Gambo's direction, please hit the top of the sports story of the day sounder.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
Now go get me an iced tea. Stephen A. Smith, today on First Take. Talking about Kevin Durant.
It's been a long, long time since Kevin Durant has been in the conference finals. And I'm telling you right now, you can't be in this situation and go out there and lose in the first round. If that happens, that is not good. There's no question about it. And we talk, it's not an accident that as great as he is, as marvelous of a player as he is, we don't talk about him nearly as much as we should. And we damn sure don't talk about him nearly as much as we used to, because the results haven't been there.
Damn.
Right?
All right, time to shock the world. Shut everybody up. Time to shut everybody up right now for Kevin Durant. Listen, there is a lot of people, you know, Jamal Crawford had an interesting thing to say about him as well. I know we're going to talk about that. But, you know, there's a lot of people that look at the two titles with Golden State and don't give him any credit for it, even though he was the MVP in the NBA Finals both times.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Finals MVP twice. Nah, they would have won it without you. We don't know that. He just jumped on their bandwagon to get those two rings. Without them, he'd have nothing. He'd be Chris Paul, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone. He'd be those guys right now if he didn't just jump in with Steph and Draymond and Klay. So there's something about Kevin Durant that a lot of people recognize him as one of the greatest players that's ever played. But they almost don't give him credit for those two rings because they feel like he kind of, you know, he kind of won them the wrong way. Won them the wrong way.
Yeah, everyone's still bothered about how he won them. And
phone on the Gambo show, the phones have to be on silent.
Just so you know, like, from your phone on a friend silent. Of mine in the industry who shall remain nameless. Now go get me an iced tea with some laughing.
I'm
going to
go Craig Riolu on that one. I'm guessing Craig Riolu. Totally guessing.
I will. You will not reveal your
sources. I'm totally guessing Craig Riolu.
You will not reveal your sources. I will not reveal my sources. But somebody in the Valley Media just texted me a moment ago and said, now go get me an iced tea, quote unquote. So thank you, Cambo, for putting me in my place here. Here's what Jamal Crawford said, and this was part of a conference call, so we don't have the audio. Said the superstar Kevin Durant can change the narrative on his legacy by leading the Suns to a championship. Quote, you'll look at him in a totally different light than maybe anybody because he gets so much crap for the two championships he won in Golden State, even though he was the finals MVP for both of those championships. That's just the narrative out there. But if he wins a championship in Phoenix, and obviously being the top dog there if they won it, I think he would change his legacy more than anybody else winning a championship, close quote.
I don't disagree with that at all. I don't want to take away his two championships in Golden State. He earned them. He won them fair and square. He was great in that. Could it change him? You listen, sometimes people win multiple, like, you know, Curt Schilling won championships with the Red Sox, but he'll tell you to this day, the most fun he ever had playing baseball was here in the Arizona with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Some people that win different championships at different with different teams, you've always got that one that maybe defines you a little bit more. And I think for Durant, bringing a title to a Phoenix organization that's never won one would define his career a lot more than what he did in Golden State.
To me, there's no doubt about that. And I think your point is very well taken about, like, this just assumption that Golden State would have just won those two championships without him. We don't know that. We know how much he mattered to that team and how much he helped. And I don't know if they keep winning without him. I'll just be honest with you, though. Like, if I'm making a Dave Burns power chart right now, power rankings of the things that I'm thinking about going into tomorrow's opener against Minnesota, Kevin Durant's legacy is
because you're local
way down the list.
Because you're local.
Like, it's not quite the level of I really don't care, but it's close to, like, it just doesn't matter to me right now today how we're going to define Kevin Durant a week from now, a month from now, 2 months from now, whenever. Because to me, I'm just, as a fan, as a forever long-suffering fan of one of 10 NBA franchises to never win a championship, all I'm thinking about is this the year? And if it's not this year, what's it going to take for next year to be the year? That's all I'm thinking about
the
right
NBA,
now.
The NBA is a star-driven league.
I agree.
NBA is driven by star players. And those star players get defined in their careers.
Sure.
We can rattle off Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, and Charles Barkley right off the tip of our tongue. Three greatest players that never won a championship. Ewing, Barkley, like, we know that those guys didn't win it. We know what LeBron is chasing. We know what Jordan did. We know what Kobe did and Shaq did, like Larry Bird. Like, we know that. And because it's stars and it's defined by what they do. Like, locally, I understand what you're saying. Like, hey, we just want a championship here, man. I don't freaking care who brings it to us.
Who does it?
But Durant will be a big part of it. Yeah, he wins a championship here, locally, it's more about the Suns. Nationally, there's a lot of it that will have to do with Durant more so. See, locally, Suns win a championship. Suns haven't, you got a shirt on, it says 1968. Haven't won one ever. They finally won one. We'll remember the times with Kevin Johnson, Gar Hurd, the shot heard around the world. We'll go back to all of those years, Amari and Nash never being able to get over the hump. That's local. Nationally, what does this do to define Kevin Durant's career that he doesn't have those two Golden State championships hanging over his head anymore?
Yeah, and I understand. I understand how the national media works. This is going to sound kind of arrogant. I like my way better. I like the way I look at it better.
Sure.
I think it's the perfect kind of talking point segment on a national show.
Because they don't know the history of Phoenix.
Because it doesn't.
Do you know the history of the 76ers?
No, of course not.
I know they won it in eight. You know, I know that they won it with Dr. J in '80s and in the '80s. And I know the players from those teams. But I just think that if a team in the East wins it, we're going to look at the star that led them to it more so. Hey, Jason Tatum finally won a championship. Well, it's not like how many, it's not the Celtics history and what they've done. It's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown finally got over the hump. Yeah.
I just want Kevin Durant to know, if he's listening to the Gambo show, that this half of the Gambo show doesn't care about the national narrative and doesn't care about your legacy and isn't worried about how this is going to, you know, and that's why I think Kevin Durant and I are kind of simpatico right now. Kevin Durant and I, when he came on the show earlier in the season, we both got the impression that he listened to the show every now and then. So I just want him to know, Kevin, I don't care about your national
and
legacy.
He doesn't care either.
I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
You know, they're going to say what they say about you when you're done, no matter what. All you can do is go as hard as you can and try to win and do the best you can. And whatever they say about you, they're going to say.
And just really quick, I do find it interesting that this is the national conversation about Kevin Durant when the Suns aren't even close to the favorites to win the championship, right? Like, they're not.
They have the 10th best odds.
They're not talked about like a team that can truly win a title this year. So why are we having these legacy conversations? I get what Stephen A's trying to say. Get out of the first round. He's got to get out of the first round. And I agree about that.
10th best odds.
10th best odds, yeah.
Nine teams have better odds to win the championship than the Suns.
All right, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show yesterday, we had our exclusive. Gambo show. I was just thinking about how you take your iced tea. So I was a little distracted. When we come back on the Gambo show, and if you think for a second I'm doing this all day, you got another thing coming, pal. Yesterday, we had our exclusive conversation with the owner of the Coyotes, Alex Morello. Today, he and the commissioner addressed the rest of the media, and boy, it wasn't great. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.
D-backs at Giants. Pre-game coverage starts tonight at 6:30 on Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
The commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, in town today, co-hosting a press conference with Alex Morello in downtown Phoenix, starting that press conference off by expressing his sympathies with Coyote fans.
Days like today are difficult. They're sad. And I sympathize with and understand and feel sorry about what the fans of the Coyotes are going through, and there probably is every conceivable emotion, and I respect that, and I feel badly about that.
But that at the end of the day, this was the way.
We could all talk about and reminisce, and I use that word in quotes, over the trials and tribulations of how we got here. But here is where we are, and from a league standpoint, from a player standpoint, from a Coyote standpoint, what we're doing is really, in my mind, and the minds of the governors who approved this yesterday, the right way to proceed so that we can ultimately have hockey in the desert where I believe it can not just survive, but thrive.
He's saying everything that he's been saying. He never wanted the sport to leave here. He always believed in it. If it wasn't for him, it would have been gone a long time ago. Remember, the Coyotes in Winnipeg, they were supposed to go to Minnesota. Minnesota didn't work out. They ended up here in Phoenix. When they couldn't play at America West Arena anymore, they were going to go build a building in Scottsdale. When that thing fell apart, they were 24 hours away from going to Portland. Like, they were making calls for real. They were going to Portland. And then at the last minute, Glendale came in, threw them a lifeline. They played there, and obviously it didn't work. And they thought they'd get this arena in Tempe, and then that failed. You know, Bettman's been through all of this. Like, he's been through all of this. He wants to bring hockey back. And right now, over the next 5 years, there's only one guy that has the ability to do that.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, there were a lot of little takeaways from listening to it. We carried about the first half hour of it or so, give or take, live here on Arizona Sports as part of Wolf and Luke's show. And it's, you know, I'm not trying to be all, you know, rainbows and daffodils here, but that is, to me, one of the main takeaways is that you can question whether Alex Morello is the guy. You can question whether he's going to win the bid or whether he's going to get things done with the city of Phoenix. You can question all of that stuff. I don't think there's any question that Gary Bettman wants an NHL team in this market and will do whatever it takes, whether it's with Alex Morello or not. And that's just my general impression, not necessarily of today, but of the situation, that Gary Bettman remains firmly committed to making sure the NHL has a presence in one of the largest media markets in the continental United States of America, right? Like, it's just bad business for them not to have a team here. They will. They will. I just don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know if it's going to be within this five-year Morello window. I don't know if it's going to be somebody else. I don't know if it's going to be somewhere else other than that plot of land up in North Phoenix. But I have zero doubt, zero, about Gary Bettman and the league wanting a team here. Indisputable in my mind.
Yeah, he wants the team here. And that's why he agreed to this deal with Alex Morello on this five-year window to make it happen. He would love, they're going to expand anyway. You know, so Utah gets the team, okay, and we'll come back to Arizona. We're going to do expansion. Now, if Arizona can't get it done, then, you know, and he said that. Like, you know, he talked about, like, if he can't get it done, then, you know, something else will have to be figured out.
Yeah. And that Lauren and I went back and listened to some of it, and I had her pull this particular soundbite because I was listening to the press conference. And this was one of the things that stood out to me, because we talked a lot about this yesterday, obviously, and we had Alex Morello on the show. The obstacles with Phoenix and creating this special tax district and this theme park tax, they're calling it, where you basically are charging users of the facility a tax to be able to use it. This is something that's going to require help from the city of Phoenix. Alex Morello has spoken openly about that. Gary Bettman was asked about it today and said, you know, that this is going to be an uphill battle to try to get these things. And he acknowledged that it could make things difficult for Alex Morello.
If there's outright hostility to another arena and there are forces at bay that are going to do everything to prevent it, that'll be a problem. But I don't doubt Alex's commitment to try and deal with all of those head on.
The whole key to all of this, I think, rests with the city of Phoenix, rests with Alex Morello's ability to coax the city of Phoenix into this and to work with them. And if he can't do that, I don't think this thing's going to go anywhere.
Look, I will tell you, it is a tax that your fans would have to pay for. You know, it is like, I will tell you, it like the diamond, that's a non-starter for the Arizona Diamondbacks
in terms of their Chase Field renovations.
The district that you can create, I will tell you, it's an absolute non-starter. A theme park district is nothing that they would be interested in, because you're basically sticking additional taxes on your fans. So the Diamondbacks are not for it. Like, they have the ability to do this too, and they're not going to do it, because to them it's a burden on their fans to have to pay more money every time they come into the area.
Mm-hmm.
But Alex Morello, he needs this and wants it. But again, it's not like, you know, unless you go to that area, if you go to that area, you will pay an extra tax. So it is a tax, but it's just going to be on the people in that area.
Yeah, no doubt. And that also, there were some awkward moments today in the press conference. Somebody asked Alex Morello when season ticket deposits, when refunds will be made for people who put down money for next year.
And season ticket refunds will be made immediately.
Immediately. We're going to look at it and we'll address it immediately. Just give me a chance to breathe a little bit. It's been very, like Gary said, it's been overwhelming.
There was another time, and I don't know if you heard this part or not, where he was asked a question, Morello was asked a question about why he's kind of gone dark for the last year or so. He hadn't done a lot of media until he appeared on our show yesterday.
He's not a media guy. He never has been.
And he said, I don't like the media. I don't like the media.
And Bettman had to correct him.
And Bettman jumped in. He's like,
I don't like the media. In fact, it's funny. I own two TV stations in Los Angeles, five radio stations in Los Angeles, and I've never once been on any radio or any TV. I don't like the media. I'm very, I avoid media for many reasons.
Let me translate that a little bit. I don't think anybody should take that personally. I think he doesn't like being a public person, right? And not that he dislikes the media, because as he says, he owns media, and all of you, he wasn't referring to it. Was some people don't like to be that out there in public.
That's why he is not in the spotlight.
Exactly.
Because he's not a great communicator.
No, he's not.
He is not a great communicator.
And honestly,
it's not going to be the Burns and Alex Morello show when I'm gone. He's not a great communicator.
And you know, media jokes aside, and whether Alex Morello likes the media or not, I don't care. It was just kind of a funny Gary Bettman. You can just see Gary Bettman's, he's a very sharp guy. His mind was like, hold on. Let me make sure we're all clear on this. He likes you right. guys just fine.
It's not you.
But you know, I think that does also raise another kind of question about, you know, Alex Morello is going to have to smooth talk some people, smooth talk some politicians. He's going to have to back channel this a little bit, you know, and that, you know, not necessarily through the media, but he better turn on the charm a little bit, because some of this is going to have to do with his ability to get that from the politicians who are involved.
50% of it. You got to sell them on you.
Yeah.
You got to sell them on you.
You do. I'm the guy to do this. I'm the leader. I'm the captain.
This will get done, and it'll get done. Trust me.
Yeah.
Believe in me.
Yeah.
You have to make them believe in you.
Yep.
You have to sell yourself.
It's like that scene from Wolf of Wall Street at the very end where Leonardo DiCaprio is going through the room. Sell me this pen. Sell me this pen.
Right.
Alex Morello needs to go to this. Sell me. Like I'm going to sell me to you.
There's a lot of salespeople out there. You're selling yourself.
No doubt. Good point. When we come back, the manager of the Diamondbacks, Torey Lovello. Is Jordan Montgomery the elixir to the Diamondbacks' current woes? I don't know. How well does he play defense? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Your exclusive home of the D-backs.
Diamondbacks.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
D-backs manager Torey Lovello joins Burns and Gambo to talk D-backs baseball. Brought to you by Estrella Jalisco, official cerveza partner of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Our weekly visit with the manager of the Diamondbacks, Torey Lovello, joining us here on the Burns and Gambo shows. The D-backs in the Bay Area tonight for game two of their series against the San Francisco Giants after losing last night by a score 5-0. Torey, welcome to the show. As always, happy Friday to you, sir. How are we doing today?
I'm doing good, guys. Always my pleasure to be with you.
You know, I used to watch these Viking shows, and sometimes they would make a sacrifice when they needed to. We have to sacrifice, with all the injuries we're having, sacrifice a bat, a ball. Is there something we can do to ask the baseball gods to stop injuring our players?
Yeah, right? I love that scene from Bull Durham, right, when they had the mound visit. Stuff like that is so real in baseball. Look, it's nothing we budget for, expect, but when it happens, we know that we got to adapt and we got to make adjustments. That we believe in that. It's part of our culture. And we hate it. We hate that we're down, you know, X amount of players. And last night, Nelly got one, and it just happens. And means next man up. And that's the part of the game that really excites me, is that next man up is usually somebody from player development or somebody that's sitting on our bench, and they're going to get an opportunity. I'm always pulling for those understudies because I know how hard they work, and I enjoy watching them go out and perform. It's really up to them to kind of to hold down that fort until the starter returns. And that's where we're at right now.
Skip, I was at the game Monday. I was at the game Wednesday, you know, watching the game on TV yesterday. The Wednesday game, Suarez has a ground ball. He drops it. Yesterday, Ketel Marte loses the ball. I mean, this is not Diamondback baseball. A lot of people are frustrated right now. No one more than you. You preach good defense, and this is a really bad defensive team right now. How do you fix it?
Oh, man. Well, we've been talking about that for the past week, you know, amongst coaches. We're just talking about redefining everything and starting from the ground up and really focusing on the basic fundamentals of picking up a ground ball. So if you're playing the piano, you're going to work on your scales for a week. That's what it is. You can't go and play Beethoven's Fifth. We wouldn't expect you to do that. And it's frustrating. It really is, because at my core, that's who I am. And that's what I stand for here. I want good pitching, good defense that keeps you in games, even on your worst days. And when it doesn't show up, it's extremely frustrating. It's, for me, mostly sometimes a focus issue. Sometimes it's a fundamental issue. And the bottom line is we just got to slow the game down in the right spots, speed it up the right way when we're supposed to, and make the plays the way we can. We do it at a very high level here. And it's not that we're missing Perdomo and AT. They obviously, they lift up that standard. But you gotta make your plays. You gotta make your basic plays, and when you do, it's gonna make us win baseball games.
We know you. We've done this show with you many years. I know you chew on all of this after games. Are the defensive miscues bothering you the most about your baseball team, or is there something else that is bothering you more, like late inning offensive execution, or maybe even something that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head? What's at the top of your to-do list when it comes to your baseball team and the start you're off to right now?
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint certain things at certain times, but where I stand is I expect us to be a very fundamentally sound team and execute at a high level. Now, what does that mean? It means when you're standing on defense that you're in a good ready position, you're anticipating the ball being hit to you, your hands are out front, you're stalking the baseball, use your footwork to throw the ball to where you got to throw it. It means when you're on the bases that you're going to follow our basic concepts about what makes you a successful Arizona Diamondback base runner / base stealer, not trying to do too much. It means just have a high baseball IQ and do the job the way you know you're supposed to do your job without trying to carry too much of a workload. What I think ends up happening is we're playing baseball below our standard, and everybody's out there saying, I'm going to be the guy, I'm going to find a way, I'm going to do something out of my body and out of my mind to help us win a game. No, that's not what I'm looking for. So at the end of the day, when we function right and I can tell the body and the mind and the pace of the game is played right, I can go to bed, whether we win or lose, and say, okay. But when we do it in a way that I don't really see as practice, or we don't talk about, or we don't preach, those are the ones that keep me up late at night.
Torey Lovello, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show, with the injury last night to Ryan Nelson on the comebacker. I even understand you could see like the seams of the baseball on his arm when he was talking to reporters after the game. Have you made a decision with him, the roster, and the injured list, given that you are going to be bringing up Jordan Montgomery to start tonight's game?
Yeah, you know, I had Nelly up in my room this morning, and he showed me the elbow, and that those seam marks are loud and proud. And it's everybody that's played this game, and you get to this point in your life, you've had that happen once or twice, and it's just happened to be in the worst spot for him. You know, if he gets hit in the shoulder, high shoulder, where it's real meaty, or maybe somewhere on the bicep or tricep where there's a little bit more muscle, he'd probably be just fine. He would have stayed in the game. So we're going to continue to evaluate him. We're going to keep him with us. And we do have to make a move for Jordan Montgomery. He is certainly being considered to go on the IL. We just need to find out here in the next 45 minutes or hour or so what that move will be to make Jordan active. If I'm a betting man, I would go ahead and just, you know, I'd bet that we're going to put Nelly on the IL.
Okay.
Probably the safest bet for us to make him be okay when he's supposed to come off.
Okay. I want to go back to the base running, because, you know, on a 3-2 count, you're trying to get that jump. Christian Walker, you could see it. It was one pitch. I had a feeling that Bo Mel was going to have him throw over there. And he did on the second one, on the 3-2 count to Suarez. Boy, I think they called for the pickoff, and Webb got him. He got him leaning, fell down, didn't get up, just got tagged out. Give me your thoughts on that, because, again, base running, these mistakes are going to kill you guys. And what are you looking for with your base runner right there when it's a full count?
Yeah, well, I thought my scalp was going to blow off the top of my head when that happened. I'm not going to lie to you. And I knew that Christian Walker, I could tell by his reaction, knew he made a mistake. Really, you're not trying to steal a base. You're just trying to get motion and stay out of a double play. I was betting that Gino was going to make contact. This is what I evaluate. Who's at the plate? Is he going to make contact? How many pitches is his pitcher thrown? Is he going to throw a gutter ball right down the middle that we can get some extension on? Is this ball going to be put on the ground? Brandon Webb is a high ground ball percentage rate guy, throws a ton of ground balls, and I knew that it was late in the game for him. I knew that something was going to be, it wasn't going to be a sharp slider that we could swing and miss at, or it was not going to be a perfect pitch. I felt like very strongly the ball was going to be put in play on the ground. So all you're trying to do is get motion at first base. You're not trying to steal the base. You just want to get motion off first base so the team can't turn a double play, and in turn you're betting on the batter to put the ball in play so we have a man at second base and two outs. That's it. And then the bonus is that you create a hole or an opening and you shoot a ball through where the second baseman or shortstop's going to be vacating to cover second base. So there's a lot of positives, but the hitter's got to be able to put the ball in play in that situation, which we did. He ended up hitting a ground ball to third base, but by that time there was already two outs and it didn't matter. So Walk just got way ahead of himself. He was in, let me steal this base mentality, and it didn't work out. And I got to tell you, teams are smart. This league pays attention. You know, there's a video on us about what we do and what we do well. There's a way to counterpunch us. And what I've been hammering our coaches on is we got to just be smarter than the average bear. We got to just be better and smarter and work more efficiently. And there's times to try and there's times not to try. There's times to lay low because teams are fighting to stop us. And then there's times to hammer down and let good things happen. We're like that young scorpion. We're exhausting all of our venom with everything that we're doing. We just got to be smart and wise and make better decisions.
Troy, leave us with this because the organization just sent the email a moment ago, literally while you were answering that question. Jordan Montgomery, Pavin Smith, both recalled from AAA Reno. Ryan Nelson has been put on the 15-day injured list. Jace Peterson has been designated for assignment. Can you speak on those moves before we let you go?
Yeah, well, I told you, I know a guy pretty well that would have given you that information about Ryan Nelson.
You kind of figured, so, maybe you didn't know when the release was going out, but we kind of figured you knew a guy, Tori. So,
tell us what you know. I was about to tell you, but I was getting a thumbs down from my peeps. I gave you 99%, and you guys walked it on in the rest of the way with Nelly. But, Nelly, like I said, I met with him in my room this afternoon, and we just decided, instead of getting up to the start line and wonder how your engine's going to run, let's pull back a little bit and you just go up there when you're 100% ready to go, fully gassed up, and keep throwing the ball the way you have. And his spot will be waiting for him when he returns. As far as Jace Peterson, look, this if we were 7 games over 500, we'd probably be having a different discussion, and Jace would still be on his team, which would mean we probably scored more runs and he'd been doing his job. And Jace is a great teammate and a good player. This was a tough conversation for us to have. And, he wasn't executing. It wasn't happening. And it wasn't working the way we needed it to work. And right now we need some offense, and Pavin can hit. He can flat out hit, and he's going to get some opportunities to roll the pole for us and help us win some baseball games.
All right. Appreciate it, Skip. We'll let you get set for the game tonight. Jace Peterson designated for assignment, Jordan Montgomery up. Good luck tonight against the Giants.
Okay, boys. I'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Thanks, Troy. Troy Lovello, the manager of the Diamondbacks, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We appreciate him coming on. We've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You will not miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo Show podcast brought to you by Carol Has the Buyers, your home sold guaranteed realty. When we come back, is Minnesota's defense good enough to shut down the Suns' offense? Because there are a couple aspects of it that might be, and we'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona sports. Breaking news.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Oh, really?
What do we got?
Another transfer out of Arizona State University football.
Oh, who's leaving now?
This from Chris Cartman with Sun Devil Source. Elijah Badger, ASU's leading receiver who had 135 catches, 1,500-plus receiving yards last two seasons, is expected to transfer per sources. Alabama and Texas A&M among the suitors.
Yeah, you can't compete. Like, you can't pay him what Alabama and Texas A&M can.
You can't. I was thinking about that with the Rashada story. I read on The Athletic that everyone thinks he's going to Georgia. And Georgia, that was the, and he'd be like the fourth quarterback in the room.
And they still got Carson Beck.
Yeah, and
who
how
may win the Heisman next
exactly,
year.
Exactly. And how he'd be, and like as
this,
soon
this
as
sucks.
As soon as I read that, I thought, well, he's getting paid.
Yeah.
He's not going somewhere to play. He is going somewhere to get paid. If he's going to go to Georgia, they have a quarterback. He's not going there to usurp Carson Beck.
You're the minor leagues for these other teams. Man. You're the minor leagues. When they're looking at their roster and you say, you know what, we need a wide receiver. Let's go find one of those middle tier schools that don't have any money and we'll go pluck their top wide. That's what happens. What's happening?
Of course.
Like, this sucks for football. This is the worst thing that ever happened in college football. This stupid NIL deal. It's stupid because there's no limit. And Alabama comes in, like, you know what? We could use a wide receiver. Look around Arizona State. They got that Badger kid. They probably can't give any money. We'll sign. We'll get him. You are the minor league grounds for these top programs.
Yeah.
They are going to pillage you and your program when they need players.
In some ways, it reminds me, for a couple of old guys like us, it kind of reminds me of baseball like 10 or 15 years ago, where you know, you just knew if you were a fan of the Kansas City Royals, great. You have this player, you drafted him, you developed him, and when it came time to pay him,
the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Red Sox were going
to
get him.
He was gone. You were never going to pay him. You were never going to be able to compete with those teams. Now they've tried to level out that playing field a little bit. They've done a decent job. This feels like exactly where baseball was 15 years ago.
You can't have a good player.
No, he's gone.
You can't have a good... You can't fault the kids.
No.
You can't fault the kids. Like, I'd love to stay at Arizona State. They're going to give me $1 million.
Yep.
It's life-changing money.
Yep.
Well, I can give you $75,000. They're giving me $1 million.
Yep.
Like, you can't fault the kids, but it's going to be really hard... You could have a really good player. He's not going to make it to the second year because somebody's going to want him.
I'm snickering because Chris Cartman of Sun Devil Source tweeted out about 3 minutes ago. Good news coming today or tomorrow, ASU fans. Please, Chris, give us something. Throw me a freaking bone, man. Give me something if you're an ASU fan, because right now it feels pretty dark and it feels pretty desolate. Elijah Badger is transferring in Alabama and Texas A&M. Yeah, he's getting paid.
He's hurt. He wasn't participating in the spring. So he has been hurt. But if one of those other schools want him... Like I said, you're going to lose good players to good schools.
All right, before we talk about the Suns real quickly, let's toss out our Twitter poll question of the day, because that's usually what we do at 2:45. Lauren, please hit the thing if you would.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Social Poll. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Mitch?
Big debut coming up tonight for the Diamondbacks. One of their big offseason acquisitions, Jordan Montgomery, will be towing the rubber for Arizona. So it's a simple question, because you never know what you can get out of a first start, especially in this day and age. So how many complete innings will Montgomery throw tonight? 3 or fewer, 4, 5, 6 or more?
Put me down for 5.
5.
Put me down for 5. For Jordan Montgomery.
With Brandon Webb going on the injured. No, he called Logan Webb Brandon Webb.
Did he catch that? Him.
Who did?
Lavello.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah. I didn't. I went right by.
Brandon Webb's a ground ball pitcher, and we were excited. He called Logan Webb Brandon Webb. You didn't catch that?
No, it went right
did
over
you guys,
my head.
Did you guys catch that?
I caught
that?
It, yeah.
It went right over my head. Yeah, no.
I didn't want to correct him.
Tori was on a heater.
I do that all the time.
What's what are the results?
The audience is with you guys. 43% think that Montgomery will throw 5 complete innings in his debut tonight. 36% are going with 4, so thinking at least one less. 13% thinking he'll get to 6 innings and maybe more. 8% thinking 3 innings or fewer.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. We appreciate that. You can find that on our X page at Burns and Gambo. Zach Lowe today named his 2023-24 All-NBA, All-Defensive, All-Rookie teams and all of this stuff. And, boy, it was just littered with things to talk about that we'll probably end up talking about a little later because we're almost out of time. But I do want to bring this up. All-NBA second team, he had Kevin Durant. All-NBA third team, he had Devin Booker and Anthony Edwards.
So the Suns have 2, and they've got 1.
Suns have 2, and they've got 1. Maybe I set my expectations too high for Book and Kevin Durant, because I was a little surprised by that, but whatever. All-defensive first team, Rudy Gobert, Minnesota. All-defensive second team, Jaden McDaniels, Minnesota. Defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, Minnesota. Sixth man of the year, Naz Reid, Minnesota.
Yeah, littered with Minnesota players on Zach Lowe's thing. Defensive player of the year with Rudy Gobert. He's going to win his 4th one. It's very likely he's going to win his 4th one. He was talking about how opponents, you know, tried Bam Adebayo in isolation more than 150 times and had no success. He goes, they went at Gobert even more, 200 plus times. Indeed, even worse, a laughable 0.811 points per possession. It says Gobert is not as fast or coordinated as Adebayo. Teams with elite pull-up shooters can drag Gobert outside his comfort zone, but that effect has always been overstated. Gobert is nimbler than you might think. The numbers and the eye test scream that he does just fine out there, at least over an 82-game sample size. And it says there is no weak spot in Gobert's dossier.
Using a big word like that.
I've heard that a few times.
And yet, the two worst... defensive performances the Minnesota Timberwolves have authored during the regular season have both come against the Phoenix Suns.
Well,
one in November and one in April. They got just torched.
Right. And the playoffs are different because now you don't change when you got to play the Suns one day and then the Clippers the next day and then, or you played the Kings and you've got the Suns coming up. But you'll change now.
Yeah.
You'll change now.
We'll talk more about this a little later because I really want to have a conversation about Book and KD being all NBA, at least on his projection all NBA. Enter to win an exclusive NFL draft experience. Text the word draft to 62620 to enter for the chance to win a reserved table and $200 in food and beverage credit at Flanker's Kitchen and Sports Bar inside the BetMGM Sportsbook, all while having a front row seat at our live broadcast as we await the Cardinals' first pick. Again, text the word draft to 62620 right now. Suns are about to start another postseason run and a lot of cool changes happening with the Phoenix Mercury. The CEO of the Suns and the Merc, Josh Bartlestein, joins us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.